Support for today's broadcast is provided by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods at 6th and University in Champaign. For over 15 years, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of cheeses, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, spices, chocolates, cookies, and more. Catering services are also available. World Harvest encourages you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 2:40. In sports, a day after knocking off 6th-ranked Texas, Notre Dame jumps right back into the fire with a game against the number one team in the country. The 8th-ranked Fighting Irish are getting set to play North Carolina in today's semifinal of the Maui Invitational in Hawaii. The Tar Heels rolled over Oregon in their semifinal, relegating the Ducks to the third-place consolation game against the Longhorns. The semifinals of the NIT season tip-off tournament are on tap tonight in New York. Number 10 Purdue is facing Boston College in the opener, while 11th-ranked Oklahoma takes on UAB in the nightcap at Madison Square Garden. In high school football in Illinois, the state championships got underway this holiday weekend in Champaign at Memorial Stadium. The first four games in the Friday brackets are the smaller schools, and then the bigger schools in the top four of the 8-bracket tournament take place on Saturday. In Class 1A, the first game on Friday morning, it's Tulane Stark County versus Concord Triopia. In Class 2A, the championship will pit Immaculate Conception of Elmhurst against Casey Westfield. In Class 3A on Friday, Illini West out of Carthage plays DuQuoin, and Aurora Christian plays Bloomington Central Catholic in the Class 4A game. Those all take place on Friday. The Chicago Bears assigned wide receiver Travis Brown to the practice squad. Brown entered the NFL in 2008 with Seattle as an undrafted free agent out of New Mexico, but the Seahawks waived him before the preseason. He was picked up by Cincinnati, which also waived him. Brady Quinn is done for the season, according to Browns coach Romeo Crennel. The second-year quarterback tried to play with a broken finger on his throwing hand last week, but was intercepted twice and benched in the third quarter of a loss to Houston. Derek Anderson will start Saturday against Philadelphia. The St. Louis Blues will try for a season-high fourth straight win when they take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight in Denver. Blues goalie Chris Mason has a 1.87 goals against average in 7 career games versus Colorado, 4 of them wins. And a Houston-area charity is ending its involvement with Roger Clemens, according to a report today in the Daily News. It's a further indication that fallout from the Mitchell report continues to haunt the 7-time Cy Young Award winner. Clemens has denied using performance-enhancing drugs since he was identified almost a year ago in George Mitchell's report on drug use in baseball. And that's a look at sports.
WILL programs are made possible by HigherEdJobs.com, listing open faculty and administrative positions at colleges and universities across the U.S. Online at www.HigherEdJobs.com.
It's 2:43 on the Afternoon Magazine. The expected Republican Party soul-searching is beginning after the loss of several state and Senate and House seats in the national election earlier this month. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker reports the state's GOP legislative leaders are joining in the analysis.
The largest losers in the last election were moderate Republicans, which could reinforce the conservative bent of the GOP. But political scientist Lane Crothers of Illinois State University says even ideologically pure party operatives want to win, so it may take a while, but the party will eventually move to the perceived center.
Sometimes it takes a cycle or two, quite frankly, of losing a lot before parties begin to have that broader resurrection.
Crothers says Democrats went through the same evolution in the late 1980s when Bill Clinton helped with the Democratic Leadership Council, but the conversation took a while. For the Illinois GOP, State Senator Bill Brady, a once and future candidate for governor, says the dialogue actually began after the 2006 election.
African Americans and Latinos make up about 95% of the minority population, and we did a horrible job of inviting them into our party.
Brady says he and others have been working on outreach over the last year to make inroads and reintroduce the GOP to minorities who may, in fact, share some traditional party beliefs like limited government. But Latinos broke hard for Democrats and Obama this election, partly because of the perception of a hardline anti-immigrant stance by the GOP on the national level. Senator Christine Redonio, the minority leader from Lamont, says that's unfair.
It's a wrap because, I think a lot of groups have some of the immigrant groups and the younger voters do have a lot of the same concerns that we have. We are concerned about the economy. We're concerned about people getting good jobs. We're concerned that they have adequate preparation for those jobs.
Now, most expect a favorite son candidate like Barack Obama to do very well in his home state. And some analysts are downplaying the Illinois Party's need to retrench by emphasizing that unique factor. But the margin of Obama's wins is particularly troubling for the Republican Party in areas that were traditionally party strengths. For instance, Obama won McLean County, only the fifth time a Democrat has carried the county since Republicans replaced Whigs in the 1850s. And one elections expert says Obama's advantages with young people, women, and minorities should be troubling to the Republican Party. Many of the younger voters who turned out for Obama had never voted before. And Illinois Wesleyan University political scientist Terry Renner says having once voted, the younger people are far more likely to stay voters than to retreat again to the sidelines.
And stuff we've never seen, even in the so-called generation gap years of 68 and 72. I've never seen anything where you have a presidential contest that above 30 is about even, and under 30 is 2-1 for one candidate.
And Obama won in what had been the GOP bastion of DuPage County, and won big by 11 points, even recently, an unthinkable margin. State Senator Redonio, who represents part of DuPage, says a couple changing demographics caused the rout, immigrants and young suburban people who do not have developed identities as Republicans or Democrats.
So I think, you know, in this new day and age, we really have to make sure that the candidates that we put forward can excite people. We can't just rely on the fact that we have people that will vote a party position as opposed to looking at individuals.
That means younger candidates who present well. GOP Senator Dan Rutherford of Pontiac thinks of new Congressman Aaron Schock of Peoria in that way. Fratricidal tendencies between social and fiscal conservatives, Rutherford says, must also stop.
We cannot let the social issues determine a good Republican from a bad Republican. And as we have seen some of the past of that, those of us that are in office today need to stand up and determine and say that there are good Republicans that maybe don't agree on all the issues and try to bring it back together and what the core fundamental principles are, and that's less government and less spending.
Another issue is ethics and corruption. The national Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal hurt the Illinois GOP just as it was beginning to live down the George Ryan implosion 7 years ago, preventing Republicans in this state from taking advantage of a dysfunctional Democratic Party whose governor has ethics issues of his own.
The Republican Party's paid the price. And you know what? Probably should have.
Republicans hope to make good government their calling card moving forward, but that won't be easy. Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon says in a state where Rod Blagojevich raised $1.9 million and 25% of that came from people to whom he's awarded contracts, it took a near mutiny in the Senate before an ethics bill could be called. Ryder says corruption is a brush that smears the GOP too.
I think Illinoisans are tainted by what they see as a corrupt government, and a government that has been tainted by corruption for years. So the change in attitude that, hey, you can trust us, we're going to do things differently, is not going to come overnight. It's not going to come in a year. It's probably going to take longer than that.
Ryder says the GOP will have to talk about ethics for a long time and keep introducing bills to change things to have a hope of making headway. Senator Christine Redonio also says the GOP should take to heart the apparent message from voters that they are interested in a change in tone and want to see people working together. Yet prospects either party in Illinois will consistently embrace bipartisanship are very cloudy. The popular vote went only 52% to Obama nationwide, and political scientist Terry Renner says the fundamental truth shown in the 2000 election of sharp differences in cultural and economic issues still pertains even after Obama's win this year.
The fact that we have the so-called divided states of America is not changed.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 10 minutes before 3 o'clock. Chicago is a city known for its architecture, and it seems to be constantly changing and growing. But what's striking now is how much the skyline is staying the same thanks to the slowdown in the economy. Some projects are delayed and even canceled, but some architects say bad times could have an impact on building design that's less expected. Lynette Kalsness reports.
You ever hear the sound of nothing? This is the sound of nothing much going on at a construction site. There's the hum of traffic and a welder who's fixing a fence. But then what you don't hear are the pounding and clanking sounds of heavy construction. That's because work on the Chicago Spire has slowed to a virtual halt. Someday, the twisting skyscraper by Santiago Calatrava is supposed to rise over the skyline. But now, it's basically a concrete hole in the ground. The developers announced it's going to stay that way until the economy improves. That decision is becoming common.
What you generally see during a downturn is a lot more caution in terms of projects that are undertaken. You see less speculative projects undertaken when the economy's strong. A lot of times it's sort of the build it and they'll come.
Kermit Baker is chief economist with the American Institute of Architects. Baker says developers may delay new construction a few years and retrofit older buildings instead.
I fear that you're going to see less interesting, less creative designs out in the marketplace now. I think we're going to see more big box looks, if you will, something that serves the purpose, doesn't inspire people much, and isn't something that's terribly memorable.
That could be the case, but there are interesting exceptions if you look back in history.
We're standing in front of the entrance to the former Field Building, one of the great Art Deco skyscrapers of Chicago.
Tim Samuelson is the city's cultural historian. The entrance to the old Field Building is three stories high, and it's made of granite panels edged with limestone.
Shall we go inside?
Let's go inside.
Samuelson moves into the lobby. The marble walls glow under indirect light from brushed metal fixtures.
It's almost tempting when you see something like this to think of those 1930s musicals, because here, this tall space with flying balconies going across it and grand staircases, you can almost imagine these kind of sequined chorus girls dancing down the staircase and on the balconies.
The rich materials and Art Deco details aren't the only stunners. What's really surprising is the Field Building got built during the Great Depression. In fact, it was the only skyscraper built downtown for more than 20 years.
They knew that all of the people who built buildings and supplied the materials would be dying to get on this job because, quite frankly, if you were going to work in construction in downtown Chicago, if you weren't working on the Field Building, you weren't working.
He says the Field Estate built this gem for a bargain basement price of about $12 million.
The Depression probably made the building even better because they were able to get the best of everything.
The old Field Building isn't the lone example of good design coming out of bad times. Samuelson points to the Century of Progress exposition in the 1930s. Then there's the art and architecture coming out of the Works Progress Administration.
It's hard to tell what's going to happen in dire economic circumstances, and it makes for a difficult time for all. So to say that there's something great going to come out of it, well, that's a little hard. But there is sometimes a byproduct of difficult times where out of kind of improvisation and making do, creativity often will come to the fore.
Chicago architects say something similar is happening on a limited scale now. Joe Valerio is a founding partner at Valerio DeWalt Train Associates. He says every architect in the city is seeing projects slowed down or on hold, but there's also something unexpected occurring.
We're sitting in meetings now, and people are saying, well, what can we put into the project that we didn't think we could afford before?
Demand is down, so prices for commodities like steel are falling.
That's a very surprising outcome that is the sort of silver lining of this downturn.
Clients who haven't had to delay their projects are asking to upgrade them. They want more durable finishes, like terrazzo instead of vinyl floors. These aren't huge changes, but some of them will affect how a building looks. Valerio says one client's replacing the glass on a 1970s-era office building and had opted for tinted glass, But now the client can afford clear glass that's better at blocking out the sun, so workers can look out on blue skies instead of gray.
Buildings with dark tinted glass tend to be sort of this Darth Vader appearance. You know, it's really black, right? Well, this really will knock that feeling back. It'll feel much more like an open, glassy building.
Another likely impact is fewer condos. Jim Getch, president of Getch Partners, thinks we'll see rental buildings instead. He says investors who have the money can get more for it. Those who don't, well, he doesn't expect them to cut corners to get a skyscraper done.
There's a certain substance that those buildings have to have just, you know, because of their size, and there's a limit to how cheap you can make something and still make it stand up.
Neither architect expects huge changes in design. Joe Valerio says it took events like the Great Depression and World War II to usher in modernism.
The buildings that were being built, the way they looked before the Civil War, changed completely after the Civil War. It takes that kind of disaster to create, you know, really a revolutionary shift in design. So hopefully this isn't going to be that bad, okay?
Valerio says he hopes the slowdown isn't long-term. The projects getting done might be of a higher quality, but there won't be as many of them. And he says everyone's in trouble if the nation doesn't get back to building again. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
Earth and sky.
I don't know of a single scientist that's not having an emotional reaction to losing their study systems.
You're listening to biologist Camille Parmesan of the University of Texas at Austin.
You know, some of these people have been studying a particular reef or a particular bird or a particular mammal for 40 or 50 years. And to start seeing it die off is a very hard thing.
She's talking about climate change, and she spoke of a reef she studied for the past 7 years, now changing due to rising ocean temperatures.
It's gotten to be so depressing that I'm not sure I'm going to go back to this particular site again, because it's like I know I'm just going to see more and more of it dead and bleached and covered with brown algae, and it's really quite depressing.
She said her most important message is the need to curb carbon emissions now.
There's not some techno fix in the future that'll make everything better again. It's not like one silver bullet. We need to not wait until we already have enormous impacts and people go, oh, gee, I guess we should be doing something. If we wait till then, it's going to be too late.
You've been listening to biologist Camille Parmesan, and I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bah Humbug Productions, presenting their second annual production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol at Parkland College. Adaptation by Nick Schneider with original music by Tim Schirmer. Performances are December 5th through 21st. Ticket information and reservations at 351-2528.
Some of the latest news coming out from Mumbai, India. A top police official says gunmen are holding hostages at two luxury hotels there after they opened fire on a crowded Mumbai train station, hotels, and a restaurant popular with tourists.